How many of you out there have either read a book, watched a video, or heard speak live Josh McDowell? Josh McDowell has been, for probably 25 to 30 years, one of the great defenders of the faith in our country and in the Christian realm. And I, by the way, just for those of you who are out there, I'm going to encourage you to do something. If you've read a book by Josh McDowell, watched a video, maybe training or discipling video, or maybe you've heard him speak live, just comment in the comment section, the book you read or the video you watched or where you heard him speak. I'd really be interested to see how many of you out there are familiar with him. Well, Josh McDowell tells a story of a conversation he had with a corporate headhunter. Now, before some of you think I'm talking about someone who's a little disturbing, a corporate headhunter is a term for guys who go out and find and recruit executives for companies. They're hired, they're contracted, and they go find people to come back and work for these companies. And the corporate headhunter that Josh McDowell was interviewing said, you know, the way that I work these interviews is I want to get the guys really comfortable. When I'm interviewing, when I'm recruiting an executive, I want to talk about football. I'll take my jacket off, loosen my tie, just kind of relax. We'll talk about family. We'll talk about hobbies. And then when I've got that executive really relaxed, I'll lean in and I'll ask this question: do you know what your purpose in life is? And he said, there's nothing quite so disarming or unsettling as that question. And the headhunter went on to say, well, some time ago, I was interviewing just such a guy. And we had talked through family and we had talked through hobbies. I had my feet kicked up on his desk, my jacket off, my tie loosened. We were just talking about football. And I put my feet down and I looked into his face and I said, Bob, do you know your purpose in life? And Bob answered, without even hesitating, my purpose is to go to heaven and to take as many people with me as I can. And the headhunter said, I've never been speechless in my professional life, but I was in that moment. Nothing quite so challenging as someone asking you, what's your purpose? Why do you exist? What is your purpose in life? Well, I want to add something to that. I want to add to that, not your purpose in life, but what is the purpose? What is the mission of the one who comes into your life to enable you to fulfill your purpose? This morning, as you watch, if you're a born-again believer, I want to suggest to you that when you were first converted, God not only declared you righteous and forgave your sins, God not only prepared you a place in heaven, but God the Holy Spirit came to dwell within you. You were baptized into the Holy Spirit at your moment of conversion. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit came into your life to help you fulfill the mission. His mission is to help you fulfill the mission God's given you. And so this morning, as we continue in this series called The Perfect Counselor, many of you are continuing to follow along in the devotional book, The Perfect Counselor. It is still available on Amazon.com if you would like a copy. I'm getting a lot of great feedback on that. And so some of you have already begun to work through those devotionals. And this morning, some of you already know, but if you don't, we're going to look at the mission of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've never thought about that, but the Holy Spirit has a mission. And I believe as born-again believers, it's important. I believe we need to know and we need to understand the mission of the Holy Spirit. And so there are going to be three thoughts we're going to have about the mission of the Holy Spirit this morning. And I'm not going to say that's an exhaustive study of his mission, but I'm going to say it's an awfully good jumping off point to get started. And so to look at it, we're going to take a look in the book of John. The book of John, chapter 16. In this series, we have already been in the book of John. Last week, we were in chapter 14. But this week, we're going to be in John, chapter 16. As a reminder, John 13 begins a series of chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, all take place within just a few hours the night before Jesus' death. So we're talking five chapters out of the book of John. A good 20-something percent of the book is just a few hours the night before Jesus dies. My point in bringing that up is that's a pretty critical thing. When you take that large of a percentage of a book that's about 3 years of Jesus' life, and a good 20% of it is about a few hours, then I would take note. And so beginning in John 14, and then 15, and then 16 in particular, those three chapters are Jesus' most extensive conversation about the Holy Spirit. John 14, Jesus begins talking about the Holy Spirit by explaining to his disciples that he would be leaving. They became upset, so he began to reaffirm the idea that even though he was going to leave, he was not going to leave them alone or as orphans, that he was going to send back the helper, the comforter, the counselor, the perfect counselor. And that's in John 14. Then John 15, Jesus lays out an illustration of what it looks like when a born-again believer is walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that term had not happened yet. Well, actually, it happened back in John 3, the term born again. But the idea of born-again believers become much more visible in the book of Acts. But here in John 15, Jesus kind of lays out an illustration of the vine and the branch and the farmer. And all that takes place. He's illustrating the way the Holy Spirit works. And we will look in John 15 as we move along in this series. And then John 16. John 16 lays out more of a clear picture on what the mission of the Holy Spirit is in coming to earth. Not only the mission to help believers, but the mission to reach the lost. Let me say that again. That John 16 lays out, Jesus lays out the mission of the Holy Spirit, not only the mission for believers, but the mission through believers to reach the lost. Let's take a look at three thoughts regarding the mission of the Holy Spirit, the perfect counselor in our lives. Beginning John 16, we will pick up in verse 5, in verses 5 through 7, kind of 7a, if you will, the beginning of verse 7. We're going to learn this, that part of the mission of the Holy Spirit involves this idea that he was sent from the Father. He was sent from the Father. And that's not necessarily an action of his mission, but it is the backdrop of his mission. Look at verse 5, John 16 and verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me, speaking of his Father. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. And so Jesus says, look, guys, I hardly got out of my mouth that I'm leaving. And all of you guys are getting all upset. Did it ever occur to you at least to ask me where I'm going or why I'm going? Did it ever occur to you that you may want to stop before you fall apart, before you get upset, before you erupt? That ever happened to you? You're trying to explain something to someone, and maybe you're explaining to them something that's a little bit of bad news, but you can give them a backdrop if they'll give you a chance to explain it. But before you can explain the thing, they just fall apart. And you're like, well, wait, let me explain. That's what Jesus is doing here. He says, I'm leaving. You're falling apart. Just let me explain, or at least ask, guys. Haven't you watched me for 3 years? Do you really think I'm going to do something that's bad for you? It's a good principle. Jesus is asking the disciples to drop back to what he had already proven to them. If someone has consistently proven to you one character trait, and then all of a sudden it appears that it's different, before you fall apart, maybe you better think back to, you know, this guy's not going to hurt me. And for the disciples, for the main 12 at this point, the 11 at this point, he's saying, listen, guys, stop and ask the question, Is Jesus really going to hurt us? And then verse 7. Nevertheless, in spite of the fact you hadn't asked me, I'm going to tell you. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. It is to your advantage that I go away. It says, I'm going away back to the Father, and that's an advantage to you. Folks, listen, part of the importance of the mission of Jesus Christ, part of the importance of the mission of the Holy Spirit in our lives is he was sent from the Father. It's important to know who someone is sent from. It's important to know who they represent, right? Many of you, you get those boxes on your front porch and it has that little smile, right? You get excited. You know why? because you know it came from Amazon, right? there's a sickness out there called Amazonesia. It's just you've ordered so many things from Amazon.com, you forget what you're getting. It's almost like Christmas, right? It shows up at your body. You walk up the driveway, you get out of your car, you look up, that box is there. Well, it matters who it's come from, right? Well, if that box said IRS, or there was a note on your door that said eviction notice, I mean, that would matter too. You know who that comes from. So it matters who someone comes from. It matters who someone represents. The Holy Spirit says, Jesus said, I'm going to the Father and send back the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came from our Father. So I got to ask you a question, folks, during this time that is unlike any in my lifetime in this world. And I'm sure it's the same for many of you. I've talked to some of you who are some of our senior adults who have been around a long time. And I've even talked to many senior adults, 70, 80 years old, that said, I don't recall a time in my life like now with COVID-19 and the coronavirus and all that's happening. I'm a little concerned about our economy, or maybe a lot concerned about our economy. I'm concerned about health. I'm concerned about my health. But I've got to ask you a question. If you know someone has come to you from the Father who loves you. Now, some of you out there may say, listen, Pastor, my father did not help me. My father abandoned me. And I got that. And so what you're going to have to do is put on kind of your spirit-filled imagination and say, while my earthly father might have left me, I have a heavenly father who loves me dearly. And if that heavenly father sent someone to me, he must intend the very best for me. And so the Holy Spirit has come into us, folks, in order to help us replicate, in order to help us follow what the Father has given us. Some years ago, I watched a special on the History Channel, one of my favorite channels. It was on the czars of Russia, the leaders of Russia. And it goes all the way back into the 17th century. The czar that caught my mind the most was Peter the Great. He was named Pietre by his parents. He was named after the apostle Peter in the Bible. He was born in 1672. By the time he was 10 years old in 1682, his father had died, and he began to co-rule with his older brother. I mean, as a 10-year-old, he did not rule. But by 1697, some years later, he was 21 years old, Peter became the Tsar of Russia. It was said that Peter was a bigger-than-life kind of guy. He was brilliant. Everything he did, he was good at. Peter, just a little fun fact, Peter the Great was 6'8" tall. Now, that's big in today's economy, but back then, when the average male was probably no more than about 5'6 or 5'7, he was humongous. And people said he would come in a room and just everyone would take notice. His personality was big. He was big, and he became a powerful ruler. In fact, he named himself Emperor of Russia, the only czar to do that. But one of the regrets of Peter the Great's life was a son, his firstborn son, Alexia, who was the heir to the throne. Alexia, if Peter was Peter the Great, Alexia was kind of Alexia the mediocre. Alexia was a little lazy. He didn't really like books that much. He wasn't really passionate or driven to take over as the emperor. And so one day his father finally, after having had enough, trying to extend the authority of the throne to Alexia, knowing that Alexia did not have the capabilities to handle it, wrote Alexia a letter that basically said, you can either grab your calling to the throne, you can grab your right to the throne, or you can denounce the throne and go join a monastery. It was found out later that Alexia was behind a coup to overthrow Peter, and he was put in jail and he died there, which just goes to show, no matter how badly Peter wanted Alexia to have his skills as a leader, he didn't have them. Alexia had the authority. Alexia had the opportunity. Alexia had the calling, but he never had the ability. And short of Peter literally getting inside Alexia's body and enabling him, Alexia would never have that ability. What if a father? What if a father had the ability to take his skills, his strength, his intelligence, maybe a professional athlete, his quickness, his ability to throw. What if he was able to take that and put it inside his children so that they would then be enabled that way? That would be a pretty powerful thing. But you can't do that unless you're God. You see, one of the important aspects of the Holy Spirit being sent from the Father is he comes to live on the inside of us to enable us to fulfill the calling of the Father. And so you say, Pastor, I just have such a hard time obeying God. I just have such a hard time doing X thing or this thing or fill in the blank thing. That's just the way I am. Pastor, I can't help it. I lose my temper. That's just the way I am. If you're born again, that's not just the way you are. The Holy Spirit has come from the Father. He lives on the inside of you to enable you to have victory over those things. You say, Pastor, I'm just not made to witness. I just really can't witness this. God didn't make me that way. Wrong again. The Holy Spirit of God has come to live on the inside of you. And while your personality may not be quite as gifted as another in interacting with people, God has enabled you by the Holy Spirit to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was sent from the Father. The Holy Spirit. Second, he was sent by the Son. From the Father, by the Son. Again, look at John 16 and verse 7. So we're going to look at two separate passages. The second half of verse 7 and then verses 15 and 16 on this point. Look at verse 7. I'm going to read the whole verse. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. All right? Okay, so now the next part of verse 7 is for our point here that is sent by the Son. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Guys, it's actually better for you if I go away, because when I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit back. Well, why is that so important? Well, hold your place here. Flip back for just a moment to John 14. John 14, verse 12, Jesus is speaking to Peter and the disciples, and he says to them in verse 12, John 14, verse 12, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now, Jesus is telling guys, you're going to do greater things than I did. These are guys who saw Jesus do some of the most magnificent, overwhelming, miraculous things anyone had ever seen. And yet he's telling them, you're going to do more. Why is it important that Jesus go away? He says, because if I go away, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And you're going to do some powerful work. And then look at John 16, verses 15 and 16. He says in verse 15, all things that the Father has are mine. So everything that's God's is mine. I am God, in fact. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine, he being the Holy Spirit, take of mine and declare it to you. A little while, verse 16, and you will not see me. Pause for just a second. He says, look, once I go away, everything that I have is going to come back to you. That would be through the Holy Spirit. Do you understand everything that is available to God is available to us if you're born again? Now, if you're watching out there and you're not certain of your salvation, let me suggest to you that you have no guarantee of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not in you. The Holy Spirit is not empowering you if you've never been born again. But he is, in fact, offering salvation to you, very likely. But he says here in verse 16, I'm going to go away and you're not going to see me. But, verse 16, a little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. Now, wait just a second, Jesus. What do you mean? You're going to go away and we're not going to see you, but all of a sudden we are going to see you. What does that even mean? He says, it's because I go to the Father. You will see me because I go to the Father. Not you will see me in spite of the fact that I go to the Father. You will see me because I go to the Father. Jesus, how's that possible? If the Holy Spirit comes, then that's very possible. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus went to the Father in order that the Holy Spirit could come to us. And it's not that we see Jesus in spite of the fact that he left this earth. It's we see Jesus because he left this earth and sent us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the visible expression of Jesus in the world right now. He was sent by the Son. The Holy Spirit's job, because he was sent by the Son, is to point people to the Son. There are people who represent governments, ambassadors, When they go into foreign countries, that ambassador's job is not to point people to themselves, but to point people to their countries. They represent everything their nation represents. So when if an ambassador goes into a foreign country, that ambassador's agenda is not his or her own. Their agenda is the agenda of their nation, of their leaders, of their president. And so if I'm an ambassador going into a foreign nation and I show up and just start talking about my own agenda, they're going to yank me out. I'm going to get fired. I may go to jail. I don't know. But as an ambassador, if I'm effective, I am representing the interest of my country. The Holy Spirit lives in you to represent the interest of our Father, to represent the expression of Jesus Christ in our lives. His whole job is to point people back to the one who sent him, which is Jesus. How do I know if someone is really filled with the Holy Spirit? How do I know if someone's really empowered by the Holy Spirit? It is because their lives are pointing people to Jesus, not to themselves, not to their own activities, but to Jesus Christ. My daughter, my oldest daughter, has a company that she started with a partner of hers some years ago called Breezy. And the entire purpose of that company is to help its clients to get noticed. And in fact, her company, its entire mission is to make sure people notice other companies. In fact, if her company only makes people notice them, then they've not fully effectively done their job. Any marketing company, and her company is all about kind of virtual marketing, online, social media, getting businesses out there to have people notice them online. Any marketing company, its entire job is to get people to notice another business. And if they don't do that, they won't be in business long. The Holy Spirit's entire job is not for us to notice him. The Holy Spirit's entire job is so that we might see the Son. Folks, I've been in ministry long enough. I've seen people claim the Holy Spirit with a lot of foolishness out there. I've seen people fall down in worship services with uncontrollable laughter and claim it was the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, let me suggest to you, you don't find that anywhere in Scripture. That's not the Holy Spirit. I've seen people running around and barking and doing ridiculous things and claim it was the Spirit who led me. Let me suggest to you, if the Spirit is leading you, people will see Jesus, not your behavior or your misbehavior, whatever the case might be. If the Holy Spirit is leading you, you will point people to Jesus. You will point people to the character of Jesus. You will point people to the identity of Jesus if the Holy Spirit's leading you, because the Holy Spirit came from the Son. That's who sent him. And then the Holy Spirit was sent on our behalf. Now, this is a much longer section of this passage, but you really got to watch this, folks. If you're a born-again believer out there, this is going to give you such encouragement. The Holy Spirit has been sent on your behalf. Well, Pastor, for what? To do what? Watch this. Verse 8 of chapter 16. And when he has come... Watch this. He will convict the world. Now, the word convict, if you take it as a noun, if we use it in modern day English, the word convict is a noun. It's convict, right? It's someone who's in jail, someone who has been accused, and someone who has had sentence passed on them, and now they are suffering the consequences of their actions. The convict. But then there's also the verb form convict. To convict means to render someone guilty. If you think about it in a courtroom, the word convict, the verb, means someone has been declared guilty. And so this word convict is important, because here's what you need to know. The word convict is not actually ever used in relationship to believers throughout the New Testament. Now hear what I'm saying. Many of you would say, well, the Holy Spirit convicted me of fill in the blank, and you're a born-again believer. I want to suggest to you that if something was wrong in your life, you may have grieved the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit may have made you aware of it, but he didn't convict you. Because the word convict means to render guilty. And Romans 8 says that no believer will ever be declared guilty again. Jesus Christ paid that debt. Jesus Christ rendered us innocent at the moment of conversion when he applied his sacrificial death to our lives. And so the word convict can't be in reference to a believer. But it can, however, be in reference to an unbeliever, guilty. In fact, here, Jesus says this. He will, again, verse 8, convict the world. That term the world generally means the world system. When you see the world, you can generally assume lost people. That the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. The Holy Spirit will make lost people be aware of their guilt. Make lost people be aware of their sin. Make people lost people be aware of their need of Christ. And there's three ways that he's going to do that. He says in verse 8, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And as Jesus often does, he goes on to explain what that means. He says, first of all, in verse 9, he will show the world their guilt because of sin. Well, what about sin, Jesus? Verse 9, because they do not believe in me. My calling as a believer, my calling as a preacher, any believer, our calling is to be able to share the gospel with others. That's a big part of our calling. But here's what I've learned. If I'm sharing Christ with an unbeliever and that unbeliever is completely oblivious to the fact that his or her sin separates him from God, there's no amount of conversation I'm going to give them, no amount of sales pitch I'm going to give them that's going to convince them they're sinners. In fact, if I try to sell them on the fact that they're sinners, oftentimes it makes them angry and they don't want to hear about it anymore. So how do I get a lost person to realize we're all sinners and your sin separates you from God? Because the reality is this, until a person realizes that his or her sin separates them from God, there's no reason to be saved, right? So as a believer, so I'm witnessing to a family member, I got a neighbor, and they feel just perfectly fine in their sin. How am I going to get them to be aware of the fact that their sin separates them from God? I don't. That's the point. I don't. The Holy Spirit does. Again, he says in verse 9, the Holy Spirit will convict lost people of their sin because they don't believe in me, Jesus says. And how am I going to get them to be aware of their sin? The Holy Spirit will do that. Your job is to be a conduit of the gospel. Share the gospel, but know this, that if a lost person is going to become aware of his or her sin, it's because the Holy Spirit did it. Now look at verse 10. There's a second way the Holy Spirit is going to convict. He's going to convict of righteousness. Righteousness. Now, righteousness means being right with God, and being right with God usually means there's an expression of that. If I'm right with God, then my behavior should surely reflect that. But first and foremost, I have to become kind of legally right with God. And once I am, then I should be walking out a life that appears that. Now, sometimes the word righteousness has fallen on hard times these days. Some see it as self-righteousness. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about someone whose life literally expresses rightness with God. Well, Jesus said the Holy Spirit is going to convict the world and show them what righteousness is. How or why? He says, because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Jesus, what exactly do you mean? Here it is. Jesus has walked on earth ministering for 3 years. He's 33 years old by this point. This is the night before his death. He's speaking in John 16. And for 3 years, he's ministered broadly and widely. 33 years old, but for 3 years in particular, as he's gone places, people have seen him as an expression of righteousness, a living expression of righteousness. He said, but now I'm leaving. So then what will the lost world look to see what righteousness looks like? He said the Holy Spirit will come and live on the inside of every born-again believer, and the born-again believer will be able to show the world what righteousness looks like. But ladies and gentlemen, let me be very clear. If you're born again today, righteousness is expressed through your life, not because of your behavior, but because the Holy Spirit living through you. You nor I have the ability to live out righteousness. It is the Holy Spirit through us. And as the Holy Spirit lives through us, Jesus says, then the Holy Spirit will show lost people what righteousness looks like. And then finally, verse 11, and he will also convict the world of judgment. Why? Because the ruler of this world is judge. If you're witnessing to somebody, how long do you think they'll listen to you if you tell them, look, you need to know, if you stay lost, you're going to be judged along with the devil. That doesn't come across very well. So how do I get a lost person to realize, look, you're going to be grouped with the enemy. You're going to be grouped with the devil. I'm not trying to be harsh. I'm not trying to be mean. You just need to know that. Can I really talk them into that? No, I can't. But the Holy Spirit can work in their heart to make them realize, you know what? If I don't get saved, I'm going to be judged along with the enemy of this world. He says, only the Holy Spirit can do that. Listen, believers, Good news. We're just conduits of the gospel. And it's the Holy Spirit who changes hearts to see sin and righteousness and judgment. All we need to do is share. And the Holy Spirit comes and enables us to witness. And the Holy Spirit comes and exposes righteousness, judgment, and sin to the lost world. Believers need to know and understand the mission of the Holy Spirit. Sent from the Father, sent by the Son, sent on our behalf. I don't know how many of you out there have ever hung on the large flat screen TVs, but one of my coronavirus sequestering jobs was to hang a large 42-inch flat screen TV on our back porch. And I did that yesterday. And it was on a brick wall. And I don't know about you, but there are a few people more effective at making a simple job difficult than me. And I finally took about half my day to get it hung. Got it hung. It's really cool. It took me a long time. And then I looked online. You know, there are people whose jobs are simply, their businesses are to hang TVs. And here's how I know I'm not one of those guys. Because I went online and they had appointment blocks of 2 hours. Folks, I hadn't even gotten the holes drilled in my wall in 2 hours. But the guys who can come in a couple of hours, hour and a half, whatever, get it done, hang it, and leave, well, it's obvious that's their mission. That's all they do. That's all they do is hang these TVs. That's their mission. That's what they do. It's very obvious. Ladies and gentlemen, the Holy Spirit has come into our lives, and He has a mission. And it becomes very obvious when He's living through us. It becomes obvious to people on the outside He was sent from the Father. It becomes obvious that He was sent by the Son. It becomes obvious He was sent on our behalf. And I'm asking you, do you have the Holy Spirit? If you're born again, you do. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then today is your day of salvation. Pray with me. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you that every single person watching, believers, Lord, would learn to be filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit. But Lord, for any lost person watching, God, help them to turn to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.